We are live. Hello, gut thrivers. Welcome to our quarterly membership webinar. We are very happy to be with you on this December the 8th. Jack, you see you're here on the chat. Now you just need to join the room with us and show your beautiful face and tell us what's going on in Texas. Here he is.
Good afternoon. Let's see. Gosh, sorry for the stumble here. I was on the other link and we're trying to see if the sound and.
Sound works. I can hear you. I just can't see you.
All right.
There you are.
Hello, hello. Hi, good to see you, Krista.
Good to see you, Jack. Looking nice and blue today. How are
Matching the
things?
Texas sky. It's a beautiful day here.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that. How is everything going for you?
It's moving along, I guess. I think we're all ready for certain things to be over and done, but
I think we are, yeah. And I guess we're kind of gunning for spring, but we'll see. We just went back into shutdown over here.
oh, that's right.
Hi, Vicky from South Florida. I'm envious that you can go to restaurants. Oh, okay.
I don't know if you get other news feeds and other statistics, and it's all so confusing. I got one this morning that says the number of deaths last year is about what it is this year, that there's not really any new deaths. It's just whatever.
I mean, yeah, it's overkill what's happening now.
And
It's
so we're all bearing the brunt of a lot of confusions, and so many people are ready to get back to normal. But what a great time it is to work on ourselves and to do things like the Gut Thrive program and work on how we optimize our lives and our diet in the future. So maybe it was time for the American population to take a deep breath and reorganize priorities.
And I think also spiritually as well, really learning to become our own leaders, our own heroes, to do the inner work that we need to do to excavate and align. Only have about 10 people. You guys, welcome to share what's new and good, ask your questions. I kind of want to hear what's going on in your practice. And are you working with people with like COVID infections that are active and aggressive?
Oh yeah, I've had a person get tested, got sick, got tested positive, and has already pulled out of it. This is the difference between yesterday and today. And some people know I have more than one clinical hat that I wear. I love clinical nutrition and everything that entails, but I also have dearly loved the practice of homeopathy. And each winter, the homeopaths put out a remedy called Influenzinum, which are the strains of the flu, and it's to help prepare the body to have an easy time if you encounter the flu. It's a preparedness. It doesn't build antibodies, but it has the flus tagged and the body ready. And of course, there's that for the COVID as well. And I'm just finding now, this is anecdotal, because I don't have any clear studies that I can hold up, but everyone that's in my sphere of influence that has definitely shown to have contracted the virus has had an easy time of it. And there could be other reasons. We did optimize people on their vitamin D3, K2. We optimized zinc, got a little quercetin into the mix, and have people's immune systems balanced between the innate and the acquired, and just the things we do in clinical nutrition to make the body strong and happy and healthy, and the key word, adaptable. So it's going well for people in natural health. And a lot of those same people are doing your program, and you've got them stoked with good supplements and getting some of that burden off of the immune system by cleaning up the gut. And that's such a core, an important core foundation that a person must have in these times of virus. So you know, here we go. We're
part brought up the homeopathic influenza and also COVID. And guys, if you don't know about it, I just posted a link. I don't know what you think, Jack, of the New Earth Pharmacy or if you even know about them, but my dear friend Willow, a co-author, is a brilliant homeopath. And so Austin and I have both been taking the homeopathic flu remedy and the homeopathic COVID remedy. And we did it also when COVID first came out. So if that's something that's interesting to you guys, go ahead and you can click the link and do your own research and decide. But it's benign and it's safe. And I absolutely love the book called The Solution. On Amazon, it's you've read that, right? It's homeoprophylaxis.
Yeah.
And it teaches how to holistically educate the immune system. And I use the homeopathic education, you know, for my son's immune system. And so
wonderful,
really good stuff. But Lori Jo, can you do me a favor? Go on Amazon, Lori Jo, our wonderful clinical customer care. Ninja is here. Can you go on Amazon and type in The Solution, that homeoprophylaxis book, and just and pop a link in here? Because I think that, I mean, I don't know, it'll probably be suppressed, Jack, but homeopathy, its time has come with all of this and talks of forced man, you know, vaccine everywhere. It's just such an effective, safe way to educate the immune system.
Well, there's actually a movement before the United States FDA to ban homeopathics. Of course, it's coming from big pharma because there's no reason to ban it if it doesn't work. It would be culled out of the environment.
Right.
You know, it would die on its own. So the fact that they're so desperate to get rid of it in the United States just shows its efficacy. And
it's so effective. It's completely inexpensive. Yeah, and it renders a lot of these pharmaceuticals unnecessary. So. We're in an interesting fight just to protect natural health right now, especially with what's happened. Thanks, Lori Jo. It's posted there. Okay. Well, we could get fired up about all this, but maybe best not to, huh? Let's see. We've had some questions. We had a question come in. I'm going to hop it in my email. This came from somebody who couldn't join us today. I'm going to read this to you, Jack. This is from Victoria. Okay. She says, I've gone through Gut Thrive twice and I was on Plan P both times. I've worked with Jack a bit, so he may remember me. In the spring, I had my house tested for mold, and the report revealed two high levels of toxic mold in my basement. It was mainly located in a humidifier that was attached to the HVAC system. It was not turned on. No one knew about it for over 10 years, and it could have been blowing through my house for 5 years that I've lived here. I had the mold remediated, and I moved out of that house 5 months later. Here's the first part of the question. If you were me, would you take measures to remove mold from my body? If so, what should I take? She was taking Taksumi Supreme Activated Bamboo Charcoal for a few months. This is a good question for anyone who's had mold.
Well, I think the mold has emerged as something that has adapted and is becoming more virulent. And there is some scientific articles on this subject, and the finger is pointing toward cell phone, Wi-Fi, 5G, things like that, that these emanations or these electromagnetic frequencies now that are literally blanking the earth, they're coming down from satellites, blanketing the earth, they're on towers, on our street corners, that these are upsetting to some of these primitive species, the fungi, the mold, the bacteria, and even virus. And so as they mutate to handle an environmental threat to them and their cellular or their metabolic processes, then they become more virulent. So if I had 5 years of additional mold exposure and it's a species that's not well represented in the air. So when they check for mold, they're going to look at what's in the air and what's in your home. Mm-hmm. And if it's just like it's what's in the air all the time, and Victoria, you've not felt any adverse effects, you might let it slide, although I believe in an ounce of prevention rather than the pound of cure. And so my answer is, yes, you ought to do something just to clean up on mold. Just working with charcoal in the GI tract is probably not enough, because we're really concerned about the messages that the molds have passed with inflammatory molecules into the body, getting across the blood-brain barrier, and maybe setting up low-level inflammation in the brain. So one of the first things to do with mold is to say, number one, are you more sensitive if it's a moldy day, if you maybe are around a cheese or something and you just realize you're more sensitive, then need to reverse that trend, because if there's this low-level inflammation in the brain, then that will cause problems over the next many years. And one of the approaches that I take is through combinetic herbology. I like the charcoal. It's good to catch in the gut. It does help get mold out of the gut, but you were breathing it, so I'm not so concerned about it may be residing in the gut as I am in the lungs or in the, getting the metabolic waste of the mold into the brain. So I like a good combination herb tinctures that are made for things like the neurological complications of mold. And I think doing like literally just doing one bottle of something like that would be well invested to make sure you've just routed it out and allowed your immune system to reset its preoccupation with the myco kingdom.
Thank you, Jack. I posted a link here, and everybody in today's world, it's so interesting about how EMFs are forcing the adaptability of the mold. And so I posted two links. One link is 8 ways to reduce your EMFs. At least you could start to protect yourself in your home. And then the other link is to these EC3 air purification candles, and they clean mold spores out of the air. And if you have a front loading washing machine, you should get the solution anyway and run an empty cycle once a week to get the mold out, or at least a bleach cycle or an ozonated cycle, keeping your house clean. In the EMF blog that you'll see, we use, it's covered, but I use an Aristech on all my devices, and do what you can do. Obviously we're living in a world where it's hard to avoid. There's another part to this question. Give me a second here. I just want to. Okay, she says, I have respiratory issues and a chronic cough. A CT scan revealed I have cloudy sinuses, and I'm working on getting an appointment with an ENT. I had a ceramic implant and crown put in last year, and just recently it came loose and fell out. My implant specialist says that sinus issues and low vitamin D are often the reason the body rejects a ceramic implant, and I have both issues. So her next question is, after not having been on antibiotics for decades, I have been on a few rounds recently for my dental work and sinus issues. Can you let me know the best way to combat the effects of the antibiotics as I take them? I have GI support and soothe and some mucosigen on hand. Okay, great. So you're going to take one GI support and soothe, one mucosigen per meal for 21 days. And you also should get a bottle of MBC. And Jack, I would have her take, since she's done a few rounds, I would have her take 2 MBC at night before bed for at least 21 days. What's your opinion?
Excellent. Yeah, I can't gainsay that. That's a good stout dose and can introduce a lot of beneficial species.
Yeah. Okay. So Victoria, you're going to take 2 MBC before bed till the bottle's gone. And then you're going to pick up a bottle of orthobiotic, because you have to step down. That's going to be 200 billion CFUs. And then you should step down and take 2 orthobiotic, which will give you 50 billion CFUs until that bottle is finished. And that orthobiotic also has some Saccharomyces boulardii in it, which is going to combat any, pathogenic yeast that could have overgrown as a result of the antibiotics. And her last question, I've heard that you suggest gut thrivers do a mini GT5 every now and then. Yes, I have. I asked because I have seen a lot of good results in phase one alone. All my respiratory and sinus miraculously went away, being on the anti-inflammatory diet and taking the beginning supplements. Yeah, I mean, this is a model for life, and you could pull certain parts of it into your life, or you could do a mini where you're doing the supplements and you're eating your 80-20 diet, or you're just doing phase one. And if you feel so much better on the phase one supplements, it's because it's lowering your inflammation set point. So even if you just did the phase one supplements once a year, then you want to make sure you lower your inflammation set point, right? Because that's going to be really important. And then if you get any infections, they're going to go wild if you have a high inflammation set point to begin with. So they take the fuel off the fire and allow this calm, and also keep your stress hormones more balanced than they would otherwise be. Did you want to add anything to Victoria's?
That's wonderful, Krista.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. We've got Andrea here. She says, I recently finished the Gut Thrive program and have tried taking the probiotics from the program. I failed as they have terrible effects when taking probiotics. I think you are a plan S-er, Andrea. I was just wondering why the probiotics seem to activate my system. Is it a bad thing? Will I ever be able to do the terraforming phase of the program? Yes, you will be able to do terraforming. Jack, go ahead. Yeah, I know you have like so many golden nuggets, and I'll jump in after this.
Well, you know, a more pointed reply could be if Andrea would, if she can hop back into the chat box there and what these terrible effects are, because I'm wondering, one terrible effect could be histamine reactions. Another one could be the bloating, burping of a SIBO reaction.
Type in what plan you are, Andrea, as well. I think you're S, but
okay. Yeah. And I've dealt with people who literally, as far as probiotics go, we go to the, like the sauerkraut jar and pull out one little thread of sauerkraut, which is actually a lot of probiotics there, and that's all they can do. And mm-hmm. Because it's a start, and evidently, Andrea, you're very, very sensitive. Not every bacterial species in a probiotic is a human species, and there may be some impact that your system is recognizing a species. And so sometimes it's good to look for a different a probiotic, and of course to reduce the dose. I mean, you might need to pour 90% out. And if you have a few extra capsules around, you can do that. You open the capsule, or you just pour a little bit in water. The other thing that I know Krista does with the program is looking for supplements that don't open in the upper GI. So you can look for an enterically coated probiotic that won't open in the small intestine, where it may contribute to species there. And after Gut Thrive, the body is trying to rebuild an immunological presence there that will control overgrowth. And if a probiotic comes down and breaks open in the small intestine, it can be recognized by the immune system as contrary to its movement toward more optimal GI health. And so there is some reaction. So we have to now start fine-tuning and customizing for you. Maybe different species, certainly much lower amounts, or even start with a little bit of water kefir, or get a nice sauerkraut and then just use the tiniest amount. It's almost silly to say that, oh, this little thread, but as you start, you know, if 1 week you only have a thread three times, but the next week you double it, you see, you're going to geometrically, it's only going to be a few weeks and you're taking a regular good dose. But we know probiotics are good for you. We know that you're getting good, viable probiotics because they are reactive. Now it's called one you can try first and easy is to modify your dose and drop the potency by 90%. Number two, maybe look for some different species where I know Krista, we both advocate sometimes instead of the regular lactobax going with soil-based organisms. So there's different categories of probiotics that you may find one that starts working better for you. Lower dose, maybe different species, and work it over time. And the other thing is, Krista Guest is, you could well, I'm just checking.
Yeah, so she's on Plan S. She gets extremely bloated like a balloon, gas and burping.
Yeah, this can be a knee-jerk reaction to the bloating you had before Gut Thrive, but now it's just being hypersensitive, reactive to the probiotic, and you're getting a message from your body. It's actually a valuable message that you want to deliver probiotics to your lower GI first. And this is where Krista has you do the implants. And that's probably the best way for you to work another month with probiotics. They're geared for the large intestine. We don't want them in the small intestine, but if your motility is slow, if the capsule breaks open too quickly, you can get them in the ileum, and that may be an immunologically sensitive area for these species. So go back to the implant. Meanwhile, you can start, you need to do this anyway. You need to get where you're using, let's say, fermented foods someday. So you might try just a little thread idea, literally one strand of the sauerkraut three times a week, and just start very slowly allowing your body to use that word terraform, and that you're not giving such a quick shift in numbers that it's triggering either a histamine reaction or a bloat reaction, which is probably in your case, Andrea, it's a brain gut signal. Uh-oh, too many bacteria in the small intestine, I'm going to bloat. And that's the message. So unless you're belching and getting a lot of gas, it's probably a brain gut connection issue, and your brain will reset over time, but it needs a more gentle signal. So those would be the top things I'm thinking right now, that you can just work your way right through this situation. You just need to be more gentle, come at it from a different direction, and take it over longer time. It can take 4 months after Gut Thrive to really get your terraforming done and your immune system properly vigilant. So you just kind of relax. You've made a good amount of progress and inroads. Let's just, you know, take it easy and do it gradually. So that's the big message for you.
Great. Okay, recapping your action plan, Andrea, you're going to do, when Jack says implants, if when you search in Gut Thrive, he means mixing your Terraflora, because you're on Plan S, so you're on Terraflora, mixing that in water, doing an enema implant and holding that to get the bacteria where we want it to be. And then you don't get the burping, you don't get the upper GI or the small intestinal issues, because you're putting the bacteria exactly where we want it to be. And then you add in tiny, tiny bits of ferments, and you're part of our 5%, you know, 5%. This is our trouble plan with SIBO, which you'll get there. And I highly recommend you do the Calm and you do the Neurosyn and you do the neuroactivation techniques to reestablish the gut brain, brain gut connection, because this is also hormonal balance starts in the brain. And there's a growing percentage of SIBO patients who have trouble like this for a long time to come, because the thyroid's not being addressed. So it's hypothyroid-induced SIBO. There's a part of SIBO that's hypothyroid-induced, which is causing this low motility. So by treating it by at the beginning of the chain in the brain, that'll signal to the pituitary gland the amount of TSH to make, and we'll start working, because we've taken care of the digestive burdens that prevent thyroid conversion. So I think if you take this kind of comprehensively, do it for 4 weeks, see how you go, and then email our team. I'll remember you. Nicole will remember you. And you're definitely, you're terraforming no matter what. So not terraforming is not an option, okay? We're going to do this together and we'll handle it. Okay, Amber, we're sorry that you had COVID-19. Amber is a recovering COVID-19 patient still experiencing abdominal pain in her right mid-abdomen. Okay, right mid-abdomen. I also have stomach pain after eating fat. I am on Plan H. So are we dealing with the gallbladder issue, Jack, here?
Sure, seems like it, because of the fat connection and getting the location of the pain. What plan do you know? Do we know what Amber?
Plan H, H primary.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. We might want to be looking, just thinking ahead here for Amber. We might want to be capitalizing on the proteolytic enzymes that are part of the Plan H, where they're getting more enzyme activity from the pancreas. And that starts to help in some of this area. And with the gallbladder, there might be, for long years, there may have been less bile flowing. And the bile is needed in the GI tract for other reasons than just emulsifying that fat. But it looks like Amber might want to pick up a movement toward some extra gallbladder support here. And then as we were talking before the we really started, coming out of COVID with any kind of residual symptom, those symptoms really should be taken seriously. And you don't want the COVID settling in. Let's say it can settle into GI tract and cause issues, as well as, you know, the brain, the heart, the kidneys, and other areas. And we want to take any lingering symptom and address it head on, and go ahead and get that fully recovered. Don't let it linger and lower your quality of life for the rest of your life and have something that's just not quite working. We want to see that you bounce back and bounce back better than ever.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'd like to add to that. So Lori Jo, if you could paste links to things as we're discussing them, like proteolytics. I also sense like artichoke leaf could be helpful here. Maybe getting back on your digestive enzymes so you have ox bile to digest fat, and then cutting your fat by at least 25%, and you could replace that with more whole food carbs, depending on where you are in the plan. And having a little bit of olive oil, like a teaspoon of olive oil and a tablespoon of lemon juice mixed together, drink that before bed can also help. And there's something called Ultrafos drops that will act like a flypaper to the bile ducts. And that might be also helpful, because I'm just kind of wondering if you're having an increase of metabolic waste due to COVID and your detoxification organs can't handle it. So we want to open up those channels. I think if we kind of come at it from all angles, that we could have positive impact. Okay. All right, Kelly. Hello. During PMS, I find myself becoming irritated and more emotional than usual. I don't currently take contraceptives. Is there anything I can do to ease these natural symptoms, or does that mean my hormones need regulation? I'm on Gut Thrive week 10. Well, the good news, Kelly, is you have removed an enormous immunological and gut burden from your hormones, right, to help them thrive again. And my advice would be for you, I'd like to know your age. I'd like to know if you're approaching perimenopause. I'd also like to know your stress levels, because that impacts it. But now you should take the whole daily multi, and you should take that all the time. It's higher in B vitamins and micronutrients that support the thyroid and the adrenals, which is the beginning of hormonal balance. You're probably getting a progesterone drop, and that's causing the irritation, but having enough vitamin B6 and eating bananas that week of PMS is going to help attenuate the drop. But keeping the steady nutrients in your system, along with high potency fish oil, that's going to certainly help. And taking a little bit, make sure you take magnesium at night, PMS week. All of that should calm down the irritation, frustration, and the emotional stuff. But I still would like to know your age. And Jack, if you want to jump in here, please do.
Yeah, Kelly's weighed in that she's 35 and has two children.
Okay. Well, two little ones. It's so hard. Yeah.
I love hearing the symptoms or things that come to the surface during Gut Thrive. And there's a philosophy here that when you're working on some of the core foundational issues, such as the GI tract, sometimes these things coming up, like what's going on with my hormones a little bit, I'm a little more edgy. This is starting to reveal, as the body does better in one area, being a holistic, it wants to do better in all areas. Now you have another squeaky wheel. Now yeah. you have something that's waving the flag saying, well, hey, pay attention to me. I'm not quite on board with the new vitality. Now, as a clinical nutritionist, I reach for a lab test. And so I would love to see a Dutch test. Now, some people don't want the out-of-pocket expense of a lab test. And then I would say, well, I'd be happy to send you a questionnaire, like on an estrogen dominance questionnaire, so we can start to pick up all the varied symptoms that might show that your system is in a hormonal imbalance. And so also during Gut Thrive, there can be some self-cleansing, right? If your body says the acquired toxins are holding me back and things are getting better with the Gut Thrive, there can be an additional burden on the liver. And this is what's known as the CYP1A2 genes and things like that. We can look, but some people, if they had a variant in some of their liver detox genes, they would be less effective in working on the reconjugation of estrogens at that time, while because the liver is overburdened doing other good things. So it'll all come out in the wash. But, you know, this is just where further investigation can give more clues. But first, I think attitudinally, hey, this is important. This is your body communicating, and it's doing it because you're getting better. And so you can now take efforts to find out, well, really, what is going on hormonally, and do things to smooth out that process, or you can weather it out for a couple more cycles and then see if it doesn't resolve itself. You know, I think both scenarios are on the table for you right now, Kelly, to see. But I'd say, because we don't know, but if you have a long history and have had a history of hormonal issues, anything from, you know, teenage acne, adult onset acne, known history of PMS type symptoms, it might be a time to say, look, this has been going on a long time. And it's really time now to bring hormone balance to the forefront and get some things figured out for that.
Yeah. And Kelly, I mean, 35, mother of two little ones during this year, where you probably did not have a lot of help with childcare. The adrenals need help. You know, it takes 2 years to recover the adrenal glands back to their full capacity after having a child. So the adrenal recode, now that you finished Gut Thrive, is a nice natural food-based next step, especially if you're still nursing. So
I wanted to mention that, Krista, for Andrea. Mm-hmm. Back a minute ago, you brought up the point on the thyroid. Mm-hmm. And sometimes one of the big ball and chains on the thyroid is the adrenals. Mm-hmm. And I've seen where people in the adrenal recode program are getting that breakthrough for the thyroid, for the gut. So these programs often dovetail, and one can segue into the other, and it's just like keep reaching for the bootstraps and lifting yourself up with each program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, people must be what? Holiday shopping, working. I think this is the smallest Gut Thrive webinar that we have ever had. We only have 14 people left on this call. So you've got access to Jack and I. We're gonna give you a couple more minutes. This is the 14 of you that are watching. How can we help you, your family? So type your questions into the chat box. So we'll give it another minute and let people see if they're going to type. And then Lori Jo, while you're on here, I just sent you a Slack message. Can you please post links to Neurosin and Calm that we were talking about with Amber, I believe. Okay, this is interesting. Kelly, my neck pain has increased in the last week. Is that normal during HCL terraforming phase? I don't think that's normal. I don't know that that's related.
I can't think of a direct link either.
Yeah, I think, you know, if neck pain
has not normal for Kelly. So we're going to respect that this is either coincidental or linked, and we just want to, you know, look and consider all that.
She goes, I'm taking advantage of you guys, LOL. Not taking advantage, but you know, neck pain. I'll just say, like, my son Austin is 2.5, almost 3. He's 35 pounds. Like, I have neck pain. And, you know, it's like you're carrying around little ones. You're carrying on the stroller. You're a Sherpa at this, you know, when you have these little ones. And so I get rolfed, you know, because I use my right hip as a shelf to carry him. And I'm sure you're doing the same. So for neck pain, I would highly recommend finding a good rolfer in your area, especially with little kids. Okay. Jack, what else is going on over there? You guys going to do anything for the holidays, or you're hunkering down?
Oh, we're in the hunker mode here, Krista. Mm-hmm. Most of my colleagues are not hunkering, and, you know, we get a lot of data contrary to what the news media is putting forth. So we have a little bit different attitudes, and I don't want to get it just tears my heart up a lot if I'm worried about the conspiracy theories and all of this stuff going on. So but we're hunkered down here, and we'll have a very quiet, and fingers crossed, you know, we'll have a big party here maybe in July or something.
And
hopefully bring it all back
bring all our socialness back. Yes. In the summer. That's good.
Yeah. I seem like I've been dealing with clinically, a lot with, for some reason, hand rash that comes up during the program, and
because people are washing their hands so much and using and killing all the good bacteria.
It's possible, or it's the gut being very closely aligned with the microbiome of the skin, and they have other things and going on, and there's something that comes up. And I thought it was, I always like to give people reassurance that, you know, any of these side effects, even with the hormonal issues, that sometimes these are all things in transition, and the body has to express, the body has to bring things out. If we improve one area, other areas can automatically improve. And that's really one of the old naturopathic principles, that if you can help a person as a practitioner, you can help a person with their top three health issues, their top three complaints, then the body can get so much relief from that, that it can take care of 100 other things. And sometimes these other things, whether it's headaches or the skin, they'll come up and they'll go away. And so with the Gut Thrive being so central to a person's health, it often brings up some of these other things that are also lurking within the person, but it's bringing them up in a good way. It's bringing them up to resolve. And that's why you get so many testimonials of, I haven't had a headache since I did Gut Thrive, or I've had more energy since I did Gut Thrive. And the body will keep working, taking all the leverage it can get from the powerful regulatory facility that's in the human gut. So many, many good things to come for everyone.
Many good things. All right, we got some new questions. I love it. Okay, Vicky, how to integrate Gut Thrive and Recode? Still trying to regain energy 2 years after a heart attack. Oh, Vicky, yes, yet. Okay, some digestive issues are showing up again, like before GT5. Going slow, I'm 62. Okay, so Vicky did the Adrenal Recode. You did it in 2019, January, right? You were our first part of the first group, January 2019, and you have done Gut Thrive before, I think. So I don't know when the last time you've done Gut Thrive is, but I think when you're trying to regain your energy, you can eat according to the Recode. And if you have digestive issues showing up, you can do the supplements for Gut Thrive. Take the assessment again, do the Gut Thrive supplements, and I would eat according to the Recode diet plan for your energy and your hormones, and then you'll be working to clean up whatever new, because obviously having a heart attack, you've been on medications, you know, since the last time you've done Gut Thrive. Would you suggest that, Jack, or would you say maybe do the Gut Thrive supplements at half the dose?
Well, I think Haptodose would cover a lot of the nutritional issues. Okay. When I read what Vicky's written, I might, if I were working in this, I would write something called NWS, heart symbol, attack. Mm-hmm. And that means never well since heart attack. And we're referring to your energy drop. And sometimes when the heart gets under stress, the mitochondria. Now, your heart attack may have been a thrombosis. It may have been a clotting, or it may have just been the heart, because statistically, they find more and more that it's not so much the big clot going through, but it's something innate within the heart. And this innate is the mitochondria. Now, they make the energy. And so if the heart determined, I'm afraid to make a full boost, a full charge of energy, because to make that energy, I'm going to have to create free radicals, and it's being sensitive free radical wise. Well, now we want to make a case of using capitalizing on some of the antioxidants in the Gut Thrive supplements. And we want to look at things that help the heart heal itself. I mean, just even like the herb hawthorn berry. But we want to look at maybe a more complex heart support and mitochondrial energy support, and bring your energy back from the inside the cells. And so your body may be having this fatigue in its own innate wisdom, saying we just got to keep it tuned down a little bit until you're stronger. Think of a car engine, and you just can't go out and race the streets like you used to if there's things wrong with the motor, because it'll cause more damage. So the body sometimes will turn its own energy down. Now, after 2 years, you've had plenty of time to regain your full complement of energy. And it's a very worthy task for you to get back, because energy is everything. And so we want to see you get back your energy, but this is not a time to force it. You know, not, you know, 3 cups of coffee and I got my energy back. No. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about cellular energy. And this is what you do with the nutrition. So you'll notice in Krista's formulas, there's things like glutathione that would serve as a very excellent antioxidant for you. And then things that are the nutritional cellular energy builders would be the thing to do, and see if you don't have your energy back within 30 or 60 days.
I love it. I posted a link for you, Vicky, to 5 foods that cover all aspects of heart health, just so you can add those 5 foods in your rotation. Great. Thank you. All right. Amy, we've been a part of your tribe for a decade. I love it. You're your family, right? Like a decade. It's been awesome. Thank you for being here. We've gone through a lot of evolution together. Carmen asks a great question. Can taking the supplements make organs lazy, like the gallbladder when taking ox bile and the pancreas when taking digestive enzymes? And the answer to that is yes. So we use them, I mean, unless you don't have a gallbladder, that's the one caveat there, but we use them to give these organs a break, send them on vacation. We're trying to just get everything working, give you metabolic food so that when they come back stronger. So Jack guest blogged, I don't know if you remember that, Jack, do digestive enzymes help or hurt? So Lori Jo, can you post a link to do digestive enzymes help and hurt? And we cover all aspects of that. And, you know, we use them either for big meals, for things that we know we're going to have trouble digesting on occasion, right? We're using them in a protocol with Gut Thrive. They're not something to stay on. Or what I personally do that's also in this is I use them to tonify my digestion once or twice a year. I'll take one bottle. Let's say I'll take one or 2 or 3 enzymes a day with meals for 30 days, right? Just to kind of get a little rejuvenating effect. And so, yeah, you don't want the pancreas to say, oh, I don't need to produce enzymes anymore, right? So yeah, there's a saying, too much of a good thing. If you want to comment on that, Jack, please feel free.
Well, no, that's a very well-established position. And it's good to have digestive enzymes around. It's good for occasional use. It's good for the big meal. and it's good for periodic tune-ups. And so that's all a good point, but you're not going to run into any risk in the 10-week Gut Thrive program. There's I don't know that I have a lot more to add. I think you've just you nailed it spot on there. That would be good universal advice.
Okay, great, thank you. Okay, so Andrea wrote back with a couple of private. I think she by mistake put it privately, so you guys can't see. But she is taking the Calm and the Neurosin, and she's the one we recommended doing an implant of the Terraflora with Plan S to avoid the gas and bloating. And so, Andrea, this is what I want you to do. I want you to copy this response and I want you to send it to info@thewholejourney.com. And either Nicole or Lori Jo is going to send you the details about how much to use on Plan S and how to do the step up, because it's not as simple as like, oh, just use one whole capsule. Like we have to, you've got to find your starting dose. So I'd probably have you start off with a fourth of a capsule, and I would have you do the implant, you know, with enema once a week, and then go up to half a capsule and then go up to a full capsule. And so your body's going to gauge what your starting point is with this. But if you email the team, they'll send you that more comprehensively written out. Okay. David. Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. Amber's right before David. What do you recommend as egg substitutes for breakfast ideas? I have food sensitivity to eggs and just starting Gut Thrive week one. Okay. I'm having trouble with breakfast ideas, including my stomach pain to fat, because she's got to lower the fat. I like the idea of you doing the sweet potato or butternut squash pancakes for breakfast and adding collagen as your protein. That's something you could do. You can do a chicken or a turkey sausage, which would be lower in fat. Just don't cook them in extra oil. Trying to think of the meal plans. If anything comes to mind for you, Jack, like we've got the sausage and kale breakfast in Gut Thrive. You know, you could do a lot of good with the smoothie recommendations without eggs.
Sure.
And, you could go rogue if you're going to have something. If you're going to have like a fish with breakfast, you do the salmon, like, right? Like smoked salmon.
What happened? Yeah, that's another good one, Krista. I guess it's, I hate to mention the amount of time, but I think about 40 years ago, I wrote a book, The Provita Plan for Optimal Nutrition. And in it, we basically started having people eat lunch for breakfast. Because at that time, 40 years ago, it was either oatmeal or sugar breakfast cereals. And people are going, well, what can I do? But that's kind of carried along in my life. So this morning, I had basically a Cobb salad without the egg. And, so I get to brag a little bit, but I went out in my lovely organic garden and I picked chard and I picked kale and I picked six different varieties of lettuce and I picked a nasturtium blossom and I picked a dandelion that came up in the garden and I've been eating rather than weeding. But I brought in a whole bowl full and then into that I had grated beet raw and grated jicama. That's what I call red and white salad, and that moistens the salad, so I didn't really use any salad dressing. Now, I put a little of yesterday's chicken in there, like a Cobb salad and some olives, and I did have a couple of artichoke hearts and, you know, whatever's laying around, some avocado, and there you go. So it had the protein, the vegetables. It did have good fats from olives and avocado and the chicken. And so forth. So there's a whole different kind of breakfast. And the reason I'm bragging about it, because I don't really get to pull that off every day. And I think I had nachos yesterday. And
I'm sure they were the Siete tortilla nachos.
But yeah, my nachos are super healthy and you would be amazed. Anyway, so I wanted to say we need to start thinking outside the egg carton for you. Yeah. And there's just every other, you know, protein source and salad and vegetables that, yeah, it looks more like lunch. You could have your salmon or even smoked salmon. Put that in a little salad. I've over the years just have had gone from, gosh, what can I possibly eat, to there's way too many things to choose from. So that's where Amber needs to go, is realizing that the old lettuce wrap kind of approach, you're going to get a lot of vegetables. And I think Chris will give you a thumbs up about the veggies. And then you can have your protein. And if you don't have a protein, you can do the collagen.
Bone broth. You could just have a mug of broth with added collagen and put a little ghee and have a piece of fruit, or any of the dinners, like, or the snacks. Like, you can just mix and match there.
Yeah. So anyway, it'll be an adventure, Amber. But if you're like me, after a few weeks of doing it, you won't want any other way, because you're going to not be heavy in the tummy. And you're going to get vitalized and energized, and you're going to have so many phytochemicals that keep you young and healthy. So it's a wonderful transition to make.
I love your attitude, Jack. That was funny. Think outside the egg carton. You always get to slide something funny in there. David, hi. Currently on step 3, awesome, of Gut Thrive, Plan S. I find that taking magnesium assists me better with constipation rather than Trifala. Is magnesium a good substitute for Trifala that can be taken long term? The answer is yes. Also, thank you for this program. By the way, I'm a star in the kitchen with these recipes. I'm so happy to hear that. I'm so glad you're with us. And I don't know what kind of magnesium you're taking. You would just mix it up over time, right? If it's like related to calming, it's magnesium glycinate. If you're taking magnesium citrate and using it kind of like a laxative, I wouldn't recommend that long term. I mean, Jack, what would you recommend that's a safe form of magnesium long term?
Well, I think what's working for him right now is needed for the program, because we have to, on Plan S, we have to have motility established throughout the program. So I'm not worried. But then we start looking at the forms of magnesium. But as you come out of Gut Thrive, you know, the goal there would be that you don't need that extra support, that you would start having more of your own. And then magnesium supplementation can be for cellular health and not for just the bowels to move them. So for right now, I think David's doing fine, and he's found something that works for him. And usually if people are, I call it abusing magnesium, they start getting so much in the liquid stool that it becomes a concern, that it, you know, things are just moving through too fast and they're not getting their nutrition. So David, if you're getting a good formed bowel movement and you're moving on your own, you may have been a person that was maybe a little bit magnesium deficient. And every time you work with this, you're stoking up some of those reserves that are going to give those cells. And as Krista is working on your GI tract and helping those cells, what they call the migrating motor complex, is going to come in working for you during Gut Thrive, because you're not snacking so much as in the past, and you're having time off from constant eating. And so as things work their way through, you should be able to just land right on a place where you're having normal, natural, healthy bowel movements. And then you just want to look at magnesium for your general cellular support. My pet one is magnesium bisglycinate because it's so tasty. It mixes in water and it's just delicious, and it absorbs very, very quickly. So it does not stimulate a lot of bowel movements for most people, but it's going to be good. And of course, magnesium threonate, and there's so many forms. And Krista gave you the clue. If you want to be a magnesium supplementer and you're not using it as a laxative crutch, then you just want to rotate some different chelates, magnesium orotate, magnesium glycinate, and give your enzyme systems different molecules to cleave, different chelations to break. And, think of magnesium as we want the ionic form to your cells, and we're not going to exhaust any one system by keeping hammering the magnesium in one supplemental form. So there you go, David. I hope that's the way it works out for you, that you won't need it soon. And then you can take magnesium because everybody needs it, because we're not really getting the full amount that we need in our American diet.
Thank you. Such a good answer. Okay, I'm going to answer a couple of quick ones here, and then I'm going to come back, Amy, to you. Amber's asking for a particular artichoke leaf supplement you can recommend for supporting the gallbladder. I mean, in general, I like Pure Encapsulations GI and Liver Detox. It's a complex, but do you have something better, Jack, that's straight artichoke leaf?
Well, back to my garden, I grew artichokes and made my own tincture this year. So, Mr. Herbalist, no, actually, it's the COVID quarantine that's given me the the time to, what am I going to do today? Well, I better go out in the garden. But no, I like that too. And of course, the artichoke is a bile stimulant. So, not only is it a good liver cleanser, but it'll kick a little bit more from the gallbladder and get better bile into the small intestine. So the artichoke leaf and artichoke tincture, these all will get you the molecules that the gallbladder would appreciate.
Lori Jo, can you please post a link to GI Liver Detox by Pure Encapsulations? And also please post a link for Kelly to the Gluten Show with Dr. Tom O'Brien. Kelly says, I do not have a gluten sensitivity, can we eat it in moderation post gut thrive? Why isn't it ideal for our health? But we could really talk about this for a long time to come, but I'm just going to let you watch the show with Dr. Tom and tell you that gluten releases something called zonulin. And what we're doing in this program is healing and sealing your leaky gut. And so if you think of the lining of the small intestine like a brick wall, then leaky gut, the mortar's missing, right? And so zonulin, every time we eat gluten, it releases zonulin, and that then shakes the wall loose a little bit, right? And so it's the poison. It's the dose that makes the poison. I'm 100% Italian. Do I eat gluten? Yes. I probably eat it. I mean, now all the restaurants are shut down, but I probably eat it once or twice a month. I'll take one of our food sensitivity supports. So Lori Jo, please post a link to that. And all of you, if you're going to eat regular dairy when you go out to eat, if you're going to have anything with gluten or sauces, I highly recommend you take one of our food sensitivity support formulas before. It will pulverize the protein in 9 most common food sensitivities within 90 minutes. So you won't have to muscle through it, get the zonulin response, build up the inflammation set point that we've worked so hard to lower. So these are ways to work your 80-20 in, but make sure you watch that show because you'll learn everything you want to know about gluten. Okay, Amy, my husband and I have done Kit Candida twice. No, your husband did it once, you did it twice. Wow. We're planning to start Gut Thrive. I'm having a hard time getting my hubby started. Any suggestions on how to motivate?
In Texas, we use a lot of wives will use a cattle prod. Now, it delivers an electric shock that'll move a cow, and that's often very effective for hubby. And
does that work on you? Does that work on you? Jack, go to the garden.
Yeah, Janine will have to chase me around.
That's funny.
Well, gosh, this is a psychological question because I can just think where, you know, if someone were to say to me, you know, Jack, I just love you so much and I want to know that you're healthy and strong and can, you know, be my spouse for, you know, many, many, many years to come. It would sure mean a lot to me if we could do this program together and support each other through it. And then I don't see how a husband could, you know, say no, because it, you know, even if he doesn't like the idea, and guys don't really like all the natural health tinkerings and so forth and all, but knowing that he's getting a bunch of points from you for it, that should be motivation there. So I hope that maybe that would help. I'm just thinking it's either the cattle prod or my sense of mission that I'm getting points from Janine for doing what's good for me and what I really ought to do anyway, so.
I think that's great advice. And Vicky's commenting here, my husband had such great luck on GT5. He probably cheated, but saw such great benefits. So you can also sell the benefit too. But again, you can lead a horse to water. So I think if he doesn't do it, don't be too hard on him. I'm stoked you got him to do Kick Candida, but you know, maybe eventually he'll do it. You have access to the program. And just say, yeah, I want you to get the benefit and be proactive so we can do all these fun things together throughout our lives and feel so good doing them. You know, that's really what it's all about, is quality of life. So, all right. I think we answered all the questions. Vicky is telling Amber for breakfast, she makes turkey and sweet potato patties and frees up the portions, cook them quickly in the morning. Sounds great. All right, guys, this we did it. It's 12:01 over here in California, and we did it. It's so nice to see you, and it's so nice to connect with you, and we want you to be as healthy and as happy as possible. David, last question. Upon completion of the Gut Thrive program, does the recipe book open up for me to eat from all plans, or should I stick to plan-esque recipes in the extended future? Oh, all plans you can eat from, David, but and then some, right? Because like you're going to go into your 80-20, and what we want you to do is have a full and varied diet. And Jack talks a lot about that in the How to Implement webinar of Step 5. So you can eat from all plans afterwards, but and more stuff that's not on any of the plans afterwards as well. And so we'll help you figure out what that 80-20 balance is, because it's what you do 80% of the time that makes up your health, and you got to have some fun 20%, but we want to define that 20% for you. Okay. Healthy, happy holiday wishes to everyone. Stay strong. We will get through this world situation. Then maybe we can have a party when we do our next quarterly webinar.
Absolutely.
You know? Okay. All right. Well, Jack, I'll be seeing you on email. Oh, guys, I just wanted to let you know one little announcement. We're announcing this today that people have been asking us for 6 years since we came out with Gut Thrive, since 2014, for a Gut Thrive in 5 practitioner training program. I get butterflies. So I've been working on that since the fall, and we are launching it, and we are going to now be accepting health coaches and doctors and acupuncturists. And Jack and I, and also Nicole on my team, we're going to train them how to administer Gut Thrive in 5 in private practice. And we're doing this worldwide. We're only taking 150 people, but I thought you, as our beloved Gut Thrivers, would like to know that, because this is, you know, it's so funny. It was like so cutting edge, right, when it came out 6 years ago, and it's still so cutting edge, but people are still not practicing this way, even like proclaimed gut health specialists. So we're excited to spread this work of terrain theory over germ theory, especially in a world that is overly focused on germ theory at the moment. So, yeah. So we'll be talking to you about that over email later today, Jack. Great. Wonderful. To see you. All right. Bye, everybody. Lots of love.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.